KTAR News, Newsmaker.
Yeah, we are pleased and honored to have Arizona Governor Doug Ducey with us this morning on Arizona's Morning News. Welcome, Governor.
Good to be back, Jim. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. And strap in, because we are going to try to cover the COVID-19 pandemic, the border surge, some new laws that the governor just signed, and maybe his political future during our conversation. But let's start with coronavirus, because I know you don't get asked enough questions about that, right?
A lot going on.
So there's a video out there.
The Diamondbacks won their second game. How about that?
That's good.
Go D-backs.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's a video out there of a shopper refusing to wear a mask in a Trader Joe's on Camelback. He's asked to leave as well. He doesn't do either one of those and claims you said he doesn't have to wear a mask anymore. I realize your order stopped local governments from mandating masks and not private business owners. But considering how many people don't know the difference, can you understand maybe why Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego is attempting to keep her city's mask mandate in place?
Well, first, let me say this is the same politician whose idea of a public health measure was to close parking lots at parks on Easter Sunday. So the parks were still crowded. People simply parked on the streets. I think it tells you everything you need to know about her level of seriousness and nature of approach during the pandemic. It's actually so weak that it's funny. Arizona had never had a mask mandate. When private businesses are asking people to wear a mask, let's respect the private business and wear a mask. They're a good idea. Arizonans have been among the leading states in the nation in mask participation and compliance, and let's keep that up as we move through this.
Any plans to take any legal action against the city of Phoenix or Pima County, who's insisting they can keep their mask mandate in place as well?
It's just more political grandstanding by politicians.
So you don't plan to
I plan to help guide us through what's remaining of this pandemic with responsible behavior.
All right. Where are you on vaccine passports then? Because two Republican governors so far have banned them. And if vaccine passports aren't created or required by the government, isn't banning them stepping on, you know, private owners' rights to allow people, private property owners' rights?
So there are no vaccine passports. And what we're being advised is under what's called an EUA, emergency use authority, that they aren't legal. But we're digging into that, and right now we're encouraging people to get the vaccination. We want people to get vaccinated. I just got my second shot a couple weeks ago. We've got the mass vaccination sites. You can now get it indoors. We want people to take advantage of that, and please get vaccinated. It is voluntary.
Right.
So if the vaccine passport is created by a private entity and then used by private entities to say you can come in here or you can't come in here, that kind of gets around the government intrusion into our privacy and all that, doesn't it?
Well, like I said, we're going to dig into the legality of it, but under the emergency use authority, you can't have that kind of requirement of a customer.
You know, I've said many times you kind of are in a no-win position. Like, you're getting it from both sides. You can't win. You put too many restrictions in place, or you didn't put enough in place. You waited too long to lift the restrictions, or you lifted them too soon. Knowing you couldn't foresee much of anything, is there anything that you did do or didn't do that you regret now, Governor?
Well, we made the best possible decision we could in real time with the information that we had.
But in retrospect, I wish we hadn't done that, or I wish we would have done that.
No, I think we've done a good job. I mean, this has been hard. Nothing's been easy about the pandemic. But in terms of listening to public health, having smart people around me, making balanced and targeted decisions, if you take a look at how we're now navigating out of the pandemic, there's still a little more, of course, to do. But the shape that Arizona's in comparison to a lot of other places, the way we're bringing jobs back, the way our schools are opening and are open, I think that's all very positive.
And we've all seen some of the photos or videos from Valley bars and clubs. People aren't following distancing guidance. What message do you feel you send when you let businesses like that reopen without that type of guidance? And at this point, is there any enforcement on any kind of business in Arizona?
There's still guidance out there. We want people to be responsible, but people also have to make decisions on what they're going to do with their lives and their businesses. They certainly have the information, and they've been responsible so far, and we're counting on them to continue to do that.
You know, it's interesting. AG Mark Brnovich issued an opinion on the mask mandate stuff. And I thought this would be interesting to kick this around a little bit, because he's basically saying that you probably can enforce your executive order to stop local governments from having their mask mandates. But he thinks maybe you should do it through the Arizona Department of Health. Does what AG Brnovich ruled affect you at all?
Well, of course, you listen to the attorney general's opinions that they put out there. What I'm going to avoid and not participate in is the political grandstanding. Mm-hmm. Let's just do the right thing. Let's follow public health. Let's be personally responsible, and let's do our best to be respectful of our neighbor and get back to normal.
What about lifting mask mandates in school? Are you going to do that? Why or why not?
Well, I'm actually working with public health on that, and the leaders at the district level.
Okay. I was going to say our 5 and 8 year olds, they're pretty okay with wearing masks during the school day. I think they would just ask that maybe they get some relief while they're outside at recess. Can we?
You know, makes sense.
Yeah. We are talking to Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. I hope you don't feel like you're being tag teamed. You have Jim Sharp on one side of you, and I'm on the other one. And we're just like rapid-firing
questions. There's no mask
at you,
mandate. So. There never has been a mask mandate statewide in Arizona. Be responsible and do the right thing.
All right. Well, I'm glad you don't think we're teaming up on you here. But you had a conference call with the White House Coronavirus Task Force yesterday. What did that conversation go like? How'd that go?
Well, we're talking about vaccine rollout, the amount of supply that we're going to have. We're actually going to be cut back a little bit on the J&J supply, which was the one.
Oh, is that because of the problems that they had?
Yes.
Okay.
But the other vaccines, which are the original vaccine and then the booster, that supply is outstripping demand. So right now we're in a position where we need more volunteers. We need more people to be vaccinated. We've led the country with these 24/7 mass vaccination sites. Again, a shout out to Michael Bidwell and the Arizona Cardinals. State Farm Stadium's been a huge success. Nearly 3 million vaccinations done, over 700,000 of them at these mass vaccination sites. So we want people to get that vaccine. The relationship with the administration has been positive on vaccine rollout. We just need more supply.
I know Vice President Harris was on that COVID call yesterday. I have to ask, did she say anything about this?
She's about the worst possible choice that one could make.
That was your response to her being designated as the lead on the Biden administration's border efforts. You didn't say that about COVID. Did she mention this at all?
No, she didn't mention it. And two separate topics.
Right.
I would say thank you to Vice President Harris for coming out and doing the virtual tour of State Farm Stadium. Her and President Biden said that it could be a model. And now NFL stadiums across the country are being set up for these vaccination sites. But what's going on at the border is a completely different situation. And she's never shown any level of seriousness that the border's been a problem or a threat throughout her entire career. In fact, quite the opposite. She's had some very negative things to say about law enforcement and people that work on the border to protect and defend our country.
KTAR News, Newsmaker.
Yeah, we are having a conversation with Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona live on Arizona's Morning News. And Governor, yeah, I mentioned already wanted to shift to the border here. I know a lot of Arizonans feel like the border doesn't really directly affect their lives. Can you tell them why they should care and how bad it is on the border here? It seems like the other states like Texas and New Mexico and even California are kind of grabbing all the national headlines.
Well, first of all, I don't know what Arizonans you're talking to that say that the border doesn't affect their daily lives.
Me personally, I know how much it affects our economy and our safety and all these other things.
Oh, for certain. And there's a real crisis at the border. There's been over 170,000 apprehensions, tens of thousands. I think we're up to 18,000 children that are migrant children that are in the care of the federal government.
Yeah.
So we don't have the attention that we need from the Biden White House. There's been a change in policies. We're working with Secretary Mayorkas to get this fixed. But right now, they're failing at the border, and we do need help. We've been down to the border. I'm thankful that Senator Kelly has also visited the border. We need action from Washington, D.C.
Governor, we actually heard a report this morning that the White House is considering restarting border wall construction. Are you surprised by that, and do you think that's needed?
Well, I think it's a pleasant surprise, if it's a surprise at all. Why did we spend all this time and investment on a physical barrier, law enforcement, surveillance, and then pull the plug on it where you can walk right through and it's wide open and unprotected? So I would like to see them complete the job. We're trying to stop the drug cartels, the human traffickers, the child sex trafficking that's happening. And now there's an incentive for these families to have their children take this dangerous journey. And that's why we've got thousands of kids in the care of the federal government, and they're not very good at being parents.
Yeah, we had the story this morning of that 10-year-old Nicaraguan boy who just left by the group he was traveling with. Those two little girls. Oh, my gosh. I could not watch that video, that Nightscope video, of those two little girls being dropped over the wall.
It's heartbreaking, and I hope that this is being seen in Central America so parents know the people that they're putting their children with for what is a very dangerous journey. I think it's 31% of females are sexually assaulted on this journey, and the drug cartels are celebrating and using these young boys to run meth and fentanyl for them. Yeah. We've got to find a way to stop this. It's not humanitarian in any way.
We're talking with Governor Doug Ducey here on Arizona's Morning News on KTAR News 92.3. And you mentioned one of our senators already, but both Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly have both called the border situation a crisis here on Arizona's Morning News, despite the Biden administration's reluctance to use that word. How closely are you working with Senators Kelly and Sinema on this?
Well, I'd say don't take my word for it. Take the Democratic senators from Arizona who are calling this a crisis. Mm-hmm. So the Biden administration not only needs to call it what it is, but take the action necessary. So I'm going to work with our senators to do everything we can. But this is a federal issue. There's a lot the state can do, the Border Strike Force, the Department of Public Safety, the fine county sheriffs we have in our border counties, but we are going to need some federal resources, action, and most of all, communication out of the White House that the border is closed and it's not open.
Yeah.
We haven't changed our amnesty laws and stopped this dangerous journey.
Talking about what the state can do, what is Arizona doing to help those communities where the migrants are being dropped off? And what, if anything, is being done to help those agencies and churches who have stepped up to help?
So we're working with the border mayors. Of course, we're talking with the federal government. We had a conversation with Secretary Mayorkas. We do need more resources. We need better communication. We also need testing and vaccines. We've got people that are coming over the border that are testing positive. They're being cohorted with people that are not positive. So they're spreading the virus right at the time when we're in the last lap on that virus. We're going to use every resource we can from the state level. But if we're not doing this across all four border states with a coordinated federal effort, it goes for naught.
Is there anything financially that the state of Arizona is being able to do for these agencies and churches?
Well, of course, we have support in terms of resources, but this is something that is sourced from the federal government,
right,
in terms of what are these nonprofits. That's what they rely on. So we're able to stem the tide in terms of help right now, but to get this done, we need the federal government.
No thoughts on doing what a predecessor of yours did, which was Janet Napolitano, who actually sent a bill to the federal government for dealing with the border situation. What I thought was very interesting, though, is when she became DHS secretary, she ignored those very bills.
Another political stunt.
Right. So, do you want to change subjects, Jamie?
Let's change subjects.
Right.
We have a lot to cover here.
Yeah, we're talking with Governor Doug Ducey on Arizona's Morning News.
And there's a new law now that you just signed. It makes it illegal for state and local governments and their employees to enforce or cooperate with any federal law or regulation that's inconsistent with any law of this state regarding the regulation of firearms. Basically, they're calling it the Second Amendment law, right? Now, before it became law, though, we talked to Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Pinzon about it, and he told us he doesn't think we need it.
You don't need a state statute to say that that is unlawful or unconstitutional. But as far as the impact on law enforcement, I think it will create confusion or challenges more so than any benefit to protecting the Second Amendment in the ways that were intended.
What do you say?
Well, the law is to protect the Second Amendment. It's an enumerated right in our United States Constitution, and it's one that just reinforces that Second Amendment and your right to carry a weapon.
You know, after what happened in Colorado and the other mass shootings that we've seen over the last few weeks, Is there any gun restriction legislation that you would consider signing if the legislature sent it to you?
What I want us to do is enforce the laws that are already on the books. If we do that, we'll get bad guys off the streets. I think whenever there's these mass shootings, we start talking about laws that simply wouldn't have fixed the problem that happened. There's a lot of discussion out of Washington, D.C. about congressional action around the Second Amendment, and this law was simply to protect the rights that we already enjoy in Arizona.
On that note, though, the Second Amendment being as broad as it is, does this not cause local law enforcement maybe to hesitate in dangerous situations when it comes to disarming somebody who may be, you know, wanting to harm themselves or others?
At this time, that law has not changed anything. So that was a proactive law for what is possible to come out of the Biden administration.
All right. But while we're on the topic of legislation and whatnot, this week, Georgia lost the MLB All-Star game over some recently passed legislation there that critics say restricts voting rights.
But that's not, the critics may say it, but that's not true.
Right,
that's not accurate.
But
the Washington Post gave Joe Biden, the Washington Post,
four Pinocchios.
Yeah, yeah. So they didn't restrict voting rights. They actually expanded voting rights. They put them into statute. And it's a real shame that politics has invaded baseball.
But as you know, in politics and in real life, sometimes, unfortunately, perception is reality. Are there any laws in the works here in Arizona that concern you? Not that they would be really unconstitutional or the wrong thing to do, but might actually affect us economically by losing some type
of.
Let's
deal with reality. Let's deal with reality. And what's going on in Georgia is not what's happening in Arizona. I've defended our election system. We do elections right in Arizona, but we're also going to sign good policy in our state. We're going to move good ideas forward. What happened in Georgia was unfortunate because it was a real miscommunication. They did expand voting rights. The things that were said about that you couldn't have water at the polls was just a complete falsehood.
Right,
I mean,
right.
The NRA or Planned Parenthood can't pass out water at the polls, or you can't have Warnock water, who was a person whose name was actually on the ballot. There's water, and the election officials can bring water and pizza and anything else that they want, but you can't have electioneering, and that's good policy.
So are you willing to sign a bill that comes out of the legislature that might, its genesis might
I'm going to sign. I'm going to sign good policy.
Okay,
and I'm not going to talk about bills that are moving through the legislature.
Okay, right.
But I will sign good policy.
If its genesis came from a person who thought you should be recalled for actually, dare you, certifying the election that I thought was really held legally and rightly.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. What I have to do is make a judgment on the idea or the bill or the initiative that's in front of me. It's a good idea in this position to have short memory and to just do the right thing.
Right.
And that's what we're going to continue to do for the remainder of my time in office.
And bills continue to evolve as they're working their way through the legislature before they even get to your desk. So what you may be hearing about now may not actually be what ends up. You know,
it's a good point, Jamie. It's actually very rare that a bill as introduced is what would make it through both chambers, three readings, and actually come to my desk. So there are amendments. Of course, that's our process. We've got 90 legislators down there that have a say in this. So we do what we can, but also stay in our lane as the executive, make the decision to either sign or veto a law, and then count on our legislatures to develop the best possible policy that can get over the finish line.
So what you're saying is it doesn't work out like it did in the School Rock cartoons that we saw, that actually they might actually change as it's a bill.
Well, I think how a bill becomes a law ought to be required viewing
yes.
in all grade schools. I think still think it's a great way.
I don't want my kids to see that. Are you crazy?
That's good stuff. They should see it.
All right. I promised I'd ask you this, Governor Ducey, though I don't have a high level of confidence. I'm going to get an answer, and that's okay. But on the off chance that you're not going to be coy with us here, what thought have you given to your post-gubernatorial political life?
Listen, I've got two full legislative sessions left. I mean, it's the beginning of the fourth quarter here.
I'm not trying to kick you out the door. I'm just wondering what comes next after the door.
Well, I've got 640 days left, 2 years. I'm excited. We've got a big agenda this session. Of course, my first priority is governor of Arizona. I've also been asked to lead the Republican Governors Association. It's a real honor to have your peers ask you to do that. So I've got a full plate right now, and that's really my focus. That might be a better or more timely question a year from today.
All right. Okay. Well, you promised to come visit us many times before
many
that
times,
year's
many
up.
Times.
Okay. And are you looking forward to not having everything that's associated with you have the term gubernatorial attached to it?
I'm looking forward to the next couple of years, Jim.
Okay. Very good. Governor Doug Ducey, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank
really
you.
Thanks for having
it.
Me. You got it.
And we'll have you back when you will answer that question.
Yes.
Last one, right. Okay.